Hi there, my name is Jamie Mackay and I lead the Postgraduate Learning and Teaching programmes at the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland. The following podcast is part of a series of interviews with graduates of the part-time M.Ed in Learning and Teaching in the Arts programme. This programme is delivered on a blended learning model but can also be studied fully remotely. All participants on the programme have a role as an arts educator and the programme is designed to help them develop their teaching practice and their arts practice, and it culminates in a self-designed final project. For more information on the programme, check the website on rcs.ac.uk/med. In this podcast, I'll be talking to Hazel Grant. After a career as a professional dancer, working and performing internationally, Hazel obtained her M.Ed in Learning and Teaching in the Performing Arts. She also has a first-class honours degree in dance with distinction and qualified as a primary school teacher and secondary school dance teacher. Hazel is a founder and director of Glasgow Dance Academy, a dance school offering young people an outlet to express who they are and build confidence. Hazel has also recently been appointed dance lecturer for West of Scotland College. Could you introduce yourself and say a little about your current role as an arts educator?
Yes, so my name is Hazel and I am the founder of Glasgow Dance Academy, which is a dance school teaching young people from 3 to 18. I'm also about to take on a new role as dance lecturer for the dance course at West of College Scotland for the advanced ballet students.
So when you're working with learners, and you maybe want to think about your role, not the one you're going into because you haven't done that yet, but the one you've come from. When you work with learners, what's your goal?
I think my goal is to build confidence. That is definitely what I think is the foundation to a successful class for learners, regardless of context. I've worked in educational settings, dance settings, and if you don't have that, no matter what the age is, if they're 3, if they're 15, it has to be there, that kind of confidence to stand in a dance class and be exposed. And I just think it's the springboard for success in a class. So getting that confidence there and building on that, and then you can kind of go from there. Because if that's missing, then it's just a bit of a disconnect the whole time.
So what are the barriers that get in the way of that goal then?
I think, well, definitely more recently, like post-pandemic, I've seen a dip in confidence with young people. I think just simply they've not been exposed to, you know, being in a more social setting, in a class together, moving, creating, and being open like that. So whether that's students that I've worked with for years before who are coming back or new students, I kind of see it a little bit in all of them. I think they're just a bit unsure about how now to act. So I suppose it's just about trying to unpick that and rebuild it the way I would with a new student that was just unfamiliar with the circumstances. As well, I think just being in a dance environment is quite an exposing place to be anyway, physically. You know, there's nowhere to hide. So to have that confidence to stand there, never mind, you know, create something or fall over or get it wrong, that takes confidence to do that, or to, you know, to dance in front of people, whether it's just me or another teacher or a performance. I think it is quite a big ask. So I try and remind myself of that, even though it's just my kind of daily work.
And you start to answer that really. So what strategies do you use to help you achieve that goal and deal with those barriers?
I think humour is always a good way to deal with it. It's a good icebreaker when there's maybe a bit of tension in the class, just to show that, you know, we don't all have to take ourselves so seriously, and it's usually at my expense, the humour. So I try and do that. Also showing that it is a safe space for them to to make mistakes, and that's fine, to show that I make mistakes. I always try and highlight whatever I've got wrong, and just kind of laugh at it. Something that I've been reading about recently is that how failure is an event. So it's something that has happened. So it's not a characteristic. So a person can't be a failure. It's something that happens to everybody. So I've been trying to use that more with my senior students and just kind of how we deal with it and learn from it. Yeah.
Thanks, Hazel. So how do you measure your success as an arts educator?
I think definitely through my students. Like, that has to be it, because, you know, you can kind of strip everything else away, but they're really the one who you're trying to have an impact on. So just, I suppose, by, you know, I see it very much with my little ones that come in and out after a couple of weeks or months. You see them come in with confidence and they know the routine and they know what's expected, which I think is how you kind of build that confidence and safe spaces, by letting them know what's expected of them. And yeah, I think, wait, I've lost my track. What did you ask me again?
How do you measure the success?
Yeah, measure, yeah. It, yeah. So just through the students, and then as well at the end of the class, you can tell from their energy and the way that they leave the class, kind of if it's been successful or if they're kind of going out quietly. I mean, I suppose there's other ways that you can think about it, like maybe your student intake or exam results, and those things are a good indication. Since I started the school, we've always had a higher increase of student intake every year. So that's reassuring, I suppose, we're doing something right. But it's more about the kind of day-to-day classes with the students.
And how do you describe the ideal relationship between you and a learner?
Ideal relationship, I think, has to be, for me, is trust. And it goes both ways. You know, they have to trust me, I have to trust them. Being a role model, which I try to be for students. So I work hard, I'm on time, I'm respectful. And I think they pick up on that. And if the trust is there, you know, then they're willing to try new things and be a wee bit more vulnerable, which is always a good thing. So yeah, trust and respect, working hard, and yeah, and understanding. I think that's another key one, which is good. Like, I try and think about not just my students, but their whole, like, their whole world. So what's their home life like, what's going on at school, and I try and kind of piece together parts of them, which always helps in class if something is maybe amiss. It's just good to have that kind of understanding. And trust as well, like with young people, it's more than just what happens in your dance class, you know, because so much is going on in their lives that students have come to me with lots of different things. And I think if they didn't trust me, they wouldn't come to you with, I don't know, for help.
But if I can aside to that question, is what job title are you most comfortable with? What do you call yourself?
I think teacher is probably what I go with. So I suppose it's constantly changing, and I go kind of back and forth to being student or teacher or dancer. And then, I suppose you are a little bit of all of those things all of the time. But I would say my main role now, I feel like I'm kind of transitioning into more of a teacher role, given your kind of your journey and your experience. Yeah.
Okay, so you've touched on some of these, I think, already. You may have different ones, but if you were to narrow it down, what three values are central to your practice as an arts educator?
I love this question. I think it really comes down to your attitude. And then I was thinking within that, I think the first thing is to have high expectations of my learners, which is quite a general thing to say, but I think trying to be a role model and showing them, you know, what is expected, but then within that, having high expectations, I think simply that just shows that you believe in your learners. And I think that's really powerful. So that would be my main thing. Another one I would have would be having a positive energy or attitude in the class. I'm lucky because what I teach is what I love to do. So I don't, you know, struggle too much about trying to motivate myself. Once I'm teaching, I'm just, you know, in my element. So that's fine. But I see with students, especially my older students, they just feed off of that energy and it's like infectious and like a sponge, like they pick it up. So I think that that is important. And then what was my third one? Oh, being supportive, I think. Yeah, like what I was saying about failure and not to be embarrassed and how, you know, you have to fail to then be successful and to learn. If you always got it right, you would never be challenged. So I think being supportive, showing that I'm someone that can help them if they have a goal or, you know, something they want to overcome, and that I'll do my best to support them with that. Yeah.
Thanks, Hazel. Slight shift of focus now. If you could have a mentor from any time in history, real or fictional, to support your arts education practice, who would you choose?
I would choose Ken Robinson. I absolutely love him. He was someone that I came across when I was training to be a primary school teacher. So I just finished being a professional dancer and was moving more to education side of things. And which, so it was quite a transitional period for me. And I came across him and he just like hit the nail on the head with kind of fusing the two together. So an educational context and then arts practice and how the two can kind of enhance each other. And I'm just so interested with everything, all of his work and advice and talks.
And if you could ask him one question, what would you ask him?
So he was talking, you know, at the start of the pandemic about how it's important that we don't go back to the way that things always were, and we kind of learn from what's happened and maybe shift and change. I was thinking, well, what do I want to know? What is my goal? What's the most important thing? Then I was thinking about my learners. I was thinking, I would probably ask something about what he thinks is the most important skill for young people to have now. And I think with the dance school, it's obviously important to me, but, you know, not everybody that I teach is going to, you know, go down that route. So I was thinking, well, what, and I don't know if it's just getting a bit older, but I see my role is far more important than just a dance class now. I think it's, I don't know, maybe having my own children, it's just like I try to think, what can I give these young people that they can take away with them? And I was thinking, well, I love what I do and I enjoy it. And so the two have kind of gone together for me. And I think he talks a lot about young people finding what they're good at and what they enjoy. And I think if more young people could identify that, then there would be a lot more, I don't know, happier young people when they start to work. So I suppose, yeah, it'd be something about what kind of skill do we need to get that out of students? Yeah. What is that skill you're going to ask me?
Well, I'm going to say, well, what do you think you would answer?
I know. Well, I suppose it's about like self-evaluation or kind of reflection or agency or kind of identifying what it is that you enjoy and what you're good at. And is that in a school setting? Not always. Or is it out with that? You know, it's something else that you attend, and being aware of that. Because maybe you go through it's never been highlighted to you before. I always try and say, if I see a student I think maybe could be going down an arts route, I'll speak to the parents and see if, and to the student, and see if it's something they're interested in or keen in, and just say, I see that they like light up in the class and it's maybe something worth pursuing. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Finally, is there anything else you'd like to say about your arts education practice?
I don't know. I was thinking not specifically me, but since everything has all sort of started back up again, I feel like everybody kind of got back with a boom, which was great. And then since then, I've just really noticed and heard recently, just even over the past sort of 3-4 months of dance schools and theatre schools and youth projects kind of closing and coming to an end, and it's all, well, I suppose there's a few reasons, but funding's always one of them, which has always been a difficulty, but just kind of the general running is becoming so difficult for independent schools. And I just think it's just a bit worrying, because when I was younger, we had the option of all of these classes. And I think young people would need those different contexts to be in. And I just see it kind of dwindling a little bit. I don't know who I'm saying this to or what I expect to happen. But yeah, that's just a wee bit of a concern I was thinking about.
Absolutely. It's a huge concern. Well, Blythen, thank you so much for your responses. Really, really interesting responses. And I know that our listeners will enjoy them too.
Good.
So thank you very much. So I'll just stop recording here. For more podcasts in this series, go to portal.rcs.ac.uk/arts-educator-interviews.